Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I'm firmly convinced Francisco Lindor will never get a hit again. He will never get it. He will collect $341 million, and he will never get a hit again.
It's one of those things when you went to the crossroads and you asked for help for the Jets and Knicks, and you got those, which means Lindor is a big fat nothing for you. I think you'll take that trade-off. You'll take that trade off.
Okay, now, yeah. But
you saw the Damian Lillard story this weekend, right?
Yeah, oh, hey.
I mean, come on. That's what you call a tease.
I get that. Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying, buddy.
In 5 years, when all of these people are gone, we're still in the middle of paying Lindor $35 million.
We're still in the middle of the bleeping desert.
He's
now I want a bathrobe and a giant pair of glasses like Elliot Gould.
He is 0-for-4 tonight. He is hitting a robust 163 on the season. Okay?
Borrow that sagebrush, baby.
AJ Pollock had more RBIs yesterday for the Dodgers than Lindor has had all season. And it's not even close. It's not like, well, he's got five. No, Lindor's got three, and Pollock knocked in eight. Okay? I mean, one day, more RBIs than Lindor's had all season long.
Well, you know what? That just means he's due, right?
That's pretty good.
Isn't that
buddy.
What people say?
I like that.
Hey,
I like that, buddy.
He's due.
He's due. He's due. Yeah, you're right. But I like the way you think, buddy. That's pretty good. I kind of dig that. Yeah, Mets losing 6-5 right now. Lindor is a big fat 0-for-4 in this game. But the Knicks are winning, so okay. I mean, the Knicks are winning. All right, Knicks are winning by 10, so okay. I mean, if that's the trade-off. I guess that's the trade-off. Only one team in blue and orange can do well at once, and so that's probably what it is. All right.
Yeah,
all right.
If that's how it is, that's how it is.
That's how you explain the universe
for now. Doesn't mean it won't change. Doesn't mean that, you know, suddenly there's not a reversal of fortune. And I got to say, you hope that doesn't happen till sometime in June.
Yes, because that
would mean the Knicks have a nice, healthy run and that nothing has imploded with the Jets before then.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. All right. I'm with you. I'm with you there. Okay.
I mean, once we hit July, all bets are off.
That's true. Yeah. I think I'll have to take that, though. I think you're right about that. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Yes, the Knicks are up by 10, but right now, Steph Curry and the Warriors, they lead New Orleans right now 121-105 with 55 seconds left to go, so it's over. Steph Curry is going to finish tonight with 41 points on 14 out of 26 shooting. He's made 8 three-pointers to go along with 8 assists and 4 rebounds, and the Warriors will now move into a tie for 8th place with the Memphis Grizzlies. So, Steph Curry in his MVP season, they have now moved up from 9th into 8th. Still a game and a half out of 10th, but they have moved up at least from 9th into 8th, and it looks like I'm pretty confident saying I don't think they'll fall out of the play-in round. I'm pretty sure they'll finish somewhere between 7 and 10 right now. It's a big loss for New Orleans right here. Warriors going to be 4 games ahead of them now in the loss column with 8 games left to go. So I'm pretty sure the Warriors will now finish, and they will pretty much clinch the play-in round here. So congratulations to MVP Steph Curry.
Well, you know what? It always helps to play a team that really has not understood the definition of the word defense, as the Pelicans struggling.
Especially on Marvel night. I mean, it's Marvel broadcast night.
And tomorrow we'll saddle up and we'll do it again. And then you've got Thunder for a couple of games, then you got the Jazz and Suns, then you get the Pelicans again, and then you get the Grizzlies in the final game of the season on May 16th.
Yeah. So the Warrior, I mean, big deal tonight.
And the fact that the Lakers now suck have really opened the door for Steph Curry and company.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you. Now listen. Now, here's the thing about Steph Curry. Okay, now, obviously, I'm talking tongue-in-cheek here because, yes.
I got people quote-tweeting Dick Vitale at us.
Oh, I know, right? Yeah, Dick Vitale. Yeah, because that's it, Dick Vitale. Oh, he's the MVP, baby. Listen. I told you how he's not the MVP because you got to be able to have your team not be in ninth or tenth place. Okay,
sure.
You got to be better than that, right? You just have to be. That's what the MVP is about. The MVP is not about a guy having a great season. How much better is he making his teammates? Is he lifting the Warriors in the standings? It's not happening, right? He's getting all his points from 30, 35 feet away. This is how he does it, right? He's the best shooter I've seen, but still, the Warriors are exactly where they were when we started this conversation 10 days ago. They're a 500 team. All right, they're a 500 team. Steph Curry is putting on a show, and it's awesome. He's got a great reputation, so people love him. But I want to give Steph Curry an MVP, right? I want to do that. I want to do that because I don't want people to feel like I'm hating on the guy. Because I'm not hating on the guy. He's just not the MVP, right? But I have an MVP award that I am ready to give to Steph Curry. Are you ready, Mike Harmon?
Yeah, please.
This is the MVP award.
I'm really curious to hear.
Yeah, this is the MVP award that he absolutely deserves. And I can tell you that this is where it will be verified, and people will stand up and say, yes, I agree with this. I support this. Steph Curry is the Twitter MVP. He is the NBA
true.
Twitter MVP.
Well, no, I mean, LeBron's dopey tweets and...
No. I mean, he's the
MVP. Take on a whole other life,
no, I don't mean he's the Twitter MVP like what he says. I mean, who's the NBA MVP on Twitter? He's the NBA MVP. So he's the Twitter NBA.
Oh,
MVP.
Everybody loves him. Yeah,
yes, I mean, like LeBron saying, you know, the play-in games are stupid. These guys should be fired. No. I don't mean what he tweets. I mean he's the Twitter MVP.
Yeah.
Like people think of him. Everybody on Twitter says, "Oh yeah, Steph is the MVP. Look how great it is. Yeah, Steph is the MVP." So he is the NBA Twitter MVP. Congratulations.
No,
that's your award that he has. Because look, it's where all the craziness about him takes off. Anyone with an account can have a vote, right? And look, and honestly, this is something that's going to take off because players all want to find a new way to get awards. It's like, wait a minute, why don't we have all the MVP awards done on Twitter and see what people vote on Twitter? That's going to be the big award. The people will vote. I got 15 million votes for MVP on Twitter. I'm the MVP. This will be a whole new thing. There'll be the regular postseason awards in the NBA. There'll be the player awards, and now there'll be the Twitter awards. It's going to be just like Hollywood, man. Award season goes, you know, we have the DGA awards, the Writers Guild awards, and you have the Golden Globes, and you have the Oscars. That's just going to be. It's going to be the Twitter MVP and Player of the Year awards and Sixth Man of the Year. Then it's going to be the regular MVP. It's going to be the players. That's how it's going to go. We're going to go through this whole deal top to bottom, and it's going to wind up being a whole thing. Twitter, NBA awards, and Steph Curry is the Twitter MVP.
That's not a bad take. That's fun. I mean, obviously, Twitter, I think, would love the extra run in the competition of social media platforms. They could get behind this. And it would really help boost the whole Reels process, and they can, you know, try to augment some of that video coverage that they're losing share to and to other platforms. So I think that works. I do have a question, though. Because, you know, part of the take when it comes to Steph Curry is trying to put him as the greatest point guard of all time. Is he really a point guard?
Yeah, he's only kind of a point guard.
I mean that with all sincerity. I know he slots as a point guard,
uh-huh.
But isn't he a shooting guard in reality? And yeah, wouldn't the greatest point guard of all time be within the top 25 of assists all time? I'm just asking questions. I'm just a simple man asking questions. That's all I'm doing here.
Yeah, no, he isn't nearly the traditional MVP, but then you want to say, but he's doing things no one's ever seen before. Okay, the point guard still, his job is to push the ball forward and to set up the other team. So he's not a conventional point guard. He's not. He's a point guard really in position only because he's listed there.
You know, well, positionless NBA? He's really a shooting guard, but they got him fill in the point guard slot on the lineup card? I mean,
yeah, put him
that
at
really
center.
What it is?
Put him at center. Why not? Positionally, put him at center. Ooh. Put him at power forward. Doesn't matter.
Fluidity. I'll tell you what. Fantasy basketball players all just collapsed. Their legs quivered. They turned to jelly going, oh.
Man, I've been playing Nerlens Noel at center, and he's been giving me nothing. Now I can play Steph at center? That's going to be awesome.
It's the
so
greatest
exciting.
Position eligibility debate ever. Like, coming into tonight's game, he legitimately is, in assists per game, he's 38th behind Nick the Quick.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you.
I mean, Mookie Blaylock is a full 0.2 better.
Mookie Blaylock.
I mean, James Harden's at 6.53. Nobody calls him a point guard.
No. And look, and he's a guy that's changed his game over the course of the past, you know, 7 or 8 years. Like, he was one player. He was like Steph Curry. Now it's like, no, I can do the other stuff too.
Then he grew a beard and it went to hell.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. Do you really want to blame the beard? I mean,
I meant in terms of changing up the game and then.
Once the beard was grown. Oh, I see.
Yeah, no, shed that whole, it's like a snake. He shed that whole other body, and now you're looking at it going, wow, he grew.
Oh,
he became a greater player, and now I can hardly contain him.
So it's kind of like Samson a bit. Not Ralph Samson.
Yeah.
I mean, Samson from the Bible.
Yeah, no, I dig that, yeah.
Okay, all right, that's good. But the Steph Curry is the NBA, he is the Twitter MVP. That's what you say. He's the Twitter MVP. Everybody,
well, he's the people's champion. The Rock. Like, I mean, it was The Rock's birthday yesterday.
Oh, see, now that's a whole other thing. Now we can have people's champ, people's awards on for NBA. I mean, they can give it Steph Curry that award too. He can have like 3 or 4 MVP awards by the time it's all said and done.
But the real MVP is just getting ready to tip off tonight.
Speaking of getting ready to tip off, as we talked about Golden State, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. The Lakers getting set to go tonight against, you mean you thought I was going to say LeBron? No, against the Nuggets and Nikola Jokic, who is likely going to win the MVP. And things are really dire for the Lakers right now. 0-2 since LeBron came back. They are now tied for 6th place with the Portland Trail Blazers. They are one loss away from being in the play-in round itself. And then you're thinking, oh, Lakers, Warriors playing. Oh, Lakers, we're playing. LeBron will not play tonight. Re-injured his ankle a little bit last night, so he's getting the night off. He spent last night after the game saying the play-in idea is stupid. Whoever's idea is it is fired, should be fired. And I'll tell you what, the Lakers just seem like they are imploding right now. All right, you got Kyle Kuzma saying, we're not together, we're not doing anything right. Dennis Schroeder's out for the next 10 to 14 days because of COVID protocols, and LeBron is dinged up and not playing. Things are really a mess for the Lakers right now. You want to say, oh, yeah, no, they'll be up. Yeah, I'd like to say that too, but, you know, ask the Clippers last year how it went when you just kept saying, yeah, when our guys come back, we're all going to be good. Then you're going home, second round in the bubble. I mean, the Lakers are an absolute mess right now. LeBron is injured. He's salty. You're not getting, you know, Anthony Davis hasn't been the same. No Dennis Schroeder. The team is sniping at each other a bit. They are in trouble, man. And I'll tell you this much. You'll know the Lakers are in trouble and how bad things are if LeBron keeps sitting out. All right, because if LeBron keeps sitting out, remember, he chose load maintenance his first year with the Lakers over trying to come back and get the team in the playoffs because he knew it wasn't an NBA Finals year for him. If he sits out, then you know LeBron's not seeing this as a Finals year, that it's too tough in the West and they're going to have to go through too many teams and not have home court, and they just don't have it this year. So if he sits out down the stretch, you'll know that's LeBron saying, this is not our year. This is just not our year. Because already to sit out is a weird thing, but when you're trying to stay in sixth place, and really it's coming down to the last few games now, but if he starts sitting, you'll know that the Lakers are just saying, whatever we do this year, we do. We won the championship last year. It didn't turn out for us. You know, LeBron was hurt. Anthony Davis was hurt. These guys missed a lot of time. The other teams are much stronger. We weren't able to do what we wanted to do at the trade deadline and really improve the team. This is not a Finals year, and LeBron, if he doesn't play, you know that's the signal. Hey, it's not a Finals year for us, so I'm not going to go crazy coming back to play. Watch. That's going to be the big thing to watch.
Well, I mean, we also got to, I mean, we got to go into this deeper as the show goes on. But crybaby LeBron has shown up, and I've lowered all the expectations. I mean, look, I'm hurt. I'm not going to be 100% again this year. I mean, you might as well have just brought a couple of violin players behind him with that one. Good God. And then the crying about going into the play-in, he joins Luka. 2 crybabies. It was great, and it was a great idea for the NBA until it happened to me. If I'm down there, well, that's just ridiculous. And I don't care, all the LeBron fanboys on our network and all the other networks on the TV networks. Certainly, we've got a whole lineup of them. Well, except for Skip. Over at FS1, I mean, we got a lot of guys that are going to be crying if they go out early and the excuse-making will begin. But remember, he endorsed this a year ago. He endorsed it and thought it was a great idea. And you see it for the NBA. It is great. Everybody's playing their players down the stretch. You've got highly anticipated games between teams nobody would give a damn about at this point in any other regular NBA season. And now all of a sudden he's going to dismiss it, saying someone should be fired. Get the hell out of here.
This is like when someone says, hey, I really think I need a change. I think I should move. Oh, that's a great idea. I think moving's a great idea if you should get out of that apartment and get to a new one. Yeah, I'm going to move this weekend. Can you help me? Oh, well, I don't know that I would rush into moving so fast. I don't, maybe you want to, don't rush into it. You don't want to have to put money down on a place you didn't really get inspected, or, you know, there could be black mold somewhere or something. I might not want to do that. Hey, you got to watch out for that.
You threw in... I'm like, you're going into all euphemisms and generalities, but then it's black mold.
Wouldn't black mold be the great name of a band? Black mold would be pretty good. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good name. That's what it is.
Black mold band.
Hey, it's a great idea, unless I have to do it. Group. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's a great idea. But no, if I have to actually do it, no, that I don't want that. I'm not a fan of that. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. So congratulations, Steph Curry. You are the NBA Twitter most valuable player. There you go.
Yay!
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yeah.
The NFL draft is now over. I know, it's very sad. I'm very sad. I'm sad. I think we're all sad. No more draft. I mean, eventually we're going to have it where there's just going to be a pick a day. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. It's going to be a pick a day, and the draft is going to go for like 3 years. And that's
how we're going to celebrate. Some of those expert fantasy drafts I get into.
Yeah.
Long, slow drafts. You got 12 hours.
Right.
So there's like a Big Brother house feed that you can buy into on pay-per-view. Maybe there's some executives walking around. Maybe it's just Belichick's dog. You don't know.
I kind of like that, like one pick a day, and it's like, they emailed the Jets GM. Oh, the Jets have made their pick. Oh, it's right here. And then it goes to somebody else and make the pick. Then you make the pick. Then you make the pick. No, I think that might work. I think we could have a whole month of the first round of the draft.
I got no problem with it.
I like
Absolutely.
It.
Let's go.
I like it.
Watch.
Joining us now on the hotline and make it a half hour show every night.
Sure.
Right? The pre, the pick, and then we break it down. CBS Sports, NFL insider extraordinaire, Jason Lockenfora. What's happening, Jay?
What's going on, gentlemen?
Hello.
You like that idea? The entire month of April, the first round of the draft is one pick a day. It's a half hour show.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you start the show and say, okay, the team is on the clock.
Uh-huh.
10 minutes go by, the pick is made, and then you break down the pick and you preview the next pick, and it's a half hour show day for 32 days.
Don't give them any ideas. Don't give them any ideas.
Come on, think of all the extra mock drafts you get for that singular pick.
Can you imagine the news?
All the content?
Between picks? Forget about it.
You know, you could own the entire month of April. And then, then we get
I'll
back
pass.
To a regular.
That's a hard pass for me. But you might get, what do they need, 2/3 of the 32 owners to approve? Yeah. You never know.
That's all you need. It's good.
Boy.
So still, coming off the draft, and the big story is still Aaron Rodgers' situation. You know, he lets go at the first day of the draft, doesn't think he can go back. The Packers are now saying, oh, I can't believe a future without Aaron Rodgers.
Mm.
Today we find out that when they waived a wide receiver earlier this year, maybe that was the final straw because it was a guy that Aaron Rodgers liked.
I don't know about that, but okay.
What do you make of where things go from here?
Oh, I think it's going to be an incredibly difficult genie to put back in the bottle. we've talked about this several times over the last calendar year, and this does now date back to April 23rd of last year. He looked at that selection and the way it was handled, and him being so in the dark about it as an affront, as an ambush, as an attack, as the powers that be in Green Bay now taking what he felt like was a career that he at least had some control over because he's Aaron Bleepin Rodgers and he had just signed an extension. You know, at that point, I don't know, what was it, 15 months prior? And, you know, he felt like he was their guy and would go out on his terms. And then they moved up to draft a project. This wasn't Aaron Rodgers falling to them at pick 25, you know, whatever, 12 years, 15 years prior, whatever it was. This was them mortgaging assets in a generational receiver draft to take his replacement higher than almost any team in real time would have told you they felt like was warranted. Jordan Love didn't fall. He didn't even have a chance to fall. They broke his fall before he fell. So that was never going to sit well with him. That was the end. I mean, that was it. And he didn't go nuclear then. He's very calculated. He's very cunning. And honestly, everything broke in a morbid way, the best way possible to reinforce his thoughts, which already were, this is going to be my last year here. They don't know it yet. Very few people know it yet. But this is it. And he throws 48 touchdowns, and he leads them into a playoff charge. And then they take the ball out of his hands with everything on the line and with him knowing in his heart at that time that if we lose this game, this is very likely the last game I'm ever playing in a Packers uniform and might be my last game at Lambeau, period, depending on where I go. And then with that sort of internal mental subplot already at work, they literally take the game out of his hands. Nothing he said after that game was it wasn't knee-jerk, it wasn't reactionary, it was real. It was where he was and where he is. And publicly, he's playing this game of passive-aggressive, totally aggressive, what my agents leaked, what I have 1 degree of separation from, what I have half a degree of separation from. But trust me, everyone who's doing his bidding is doing it for one reason and one reason only, because he wants them to. And that came out when it came out because that was the ultimate way for him 1 year later to say, you think you bleeped me a year ago? I'm bleeping you twice as hard. I'm hitting you where it hurts. I laid in the weeds for almost a full calendar year, and now I'm blowing up your spot. You think you have the timetable for me? Guess what? Now you're on the clock. Now you've got to deal with me at a time and at a place when you didn't think you'd have to, at least not publicly. And now the tables have turned. And it's personal, and it's bitter, and it's ugly. And they can't go back in time and redo what they did, which was have him sitting there watching that draft, calling his boys, texting his boys, saying, who are they getting for us? And then they take this kid, and he's getting texts from Russell Wilson and Tom Brady, like, what the F? Like, what happened? Like, what are they doing to you? What the hell? You can't redo that. Not with this guy. Uh-uh.
All right, so how about calling his bluff and letting him wear his derby hat and Turd Ferguson badge and sit out?
I mean, they can. It's not going to help their football team.
Well, but in the end, I mean, if you in theory, drafted your guy, this is the chance to just say,
oh, let's see how that plays out. I will tell you this, and I wrote this in real time a year ago. He will watch that kid like a hawk. He will do every bit of internal calculus he could do about how ready he thinks that kid is. And part of the reason I believe he did what he did when he did it is because he knows he's nowhere close to being ready. And he called their bluff. Are you okay? Like, are you willing to double down on this position? Like, are you willing to draft another quarterback? Because I might not be around. Are you going to try to trade for another quarterback? Like, what are you going to do? Because after what you did to me, if I'm not there and you're forced to play him, I, me in this case being the pretending to be Aaron Rodgers, I think that's going to work on my behalf. Like, let's see what that looks like for your fans. Now he's going to play before he probably should. And he ain't going to be ready. And it's not going to be close to pretty. And that's only going to enhance Aaron Rodgers' leverage.
Jason Lockenfour with us, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. All right, so while we wait and watch this soap opera play out, we, you know, we're looking at the other quarterbacks that we've seen the past few days going in the first round of the draft. Are they all going to play day one? Are they all going to play early? Are they all going to get gigs? Or are we going to see some of these guys sit behind a couple of people?
I think you are going to look at a situation where there's a little more redshirting going on, a little bit more return to old school, and I don't know that that's going to be a seismic change that we see moving forward, but I think it's more indicative of the where we are in the pandemic, how compromised seasons were last year at varying levels, how sort of convoluted and complex it was playing some of these games, how limited practice time was. Just the whole college experience, the whole student-athlete thing was so different in 2020 than anything probably, you know, I don't know, the last 100 years. So yeah, you look at the lost practice time, lost developmental time, fewer games played, and all that, and also not being able to evaluate them the way you'd like, not being able to have the top 30 visits and kids in your building and kids going to dinner with your owner and all that. Yeah, I think slow playing, it's going to make sense in a lot of places. Jacksonville, no. I think the Jets, it absolutely would have made sense to have a redshirt situation, but they don't appear to have one, which...
Flacco's elite.
Yeah.
Oh, James Morgan. We'll start James Morgan. It'll be
Flacco
fine.
Should start. I'll say that. I mean, as long as he's got a heartbeat, he should be week one. It should be Flacco. But I don't know how long they're going to be able to hold off the cavalry. I wouldn't be in any rush to play that kid, but I suspect he plays sooner than he should. I mean, the 49ers taking Lance makes a whole hell of a lot more sense to me than Mac Jones. And he's going to need some time. Lance is certainly going to need some time. Fields, I don't think they have to play him right away. They have enough money sunk into other quarterbacks. That one to me is like Tua a year ago. Somewhere between week 6 and week 8, it probably starts coming into focus, but I don't think before then. And then New England, look, if he is plug and play, you know, obviously Belichick and Saban are boys, and if he's ready to run parts of that offense, they could be running a two-headed monster. They could have Cam Newton in the red zone doing certain things. They could have Mac Jones between the 20s. We've seen Sean Payton toggle between sort of throwback quarterbacks and new age quarterbacks. So I don't think they'll be worried about criticism if they're unconventional in how they approach it. But yeah, I think at least three of these five should sit for some period of time.
All right, so you're a blunt assessor of what you see out there. Say after the end of day two, did you throw your hands up for any particular team and say, what are they doing?
Not really. I mean, the Tennessee Titans, you know, they've had some spotty, at best, success in the first round. And after what they went through with that offensive lineman from Georgia last year, I'm not surprised that they took Farley, who was, you know, for some teams, a lot of teams, not a first-round consideration because of the back situation. Am I shocked that they're the ones who made the leap? No, I'm not. It's very much in character for them. But, boy, it's pretty out there. So they give me a little bit of pause. The Raiders took a lot of defensive backs. They certainly need help in that regard. I don't get Leatherwood. I think a lot of teams had a first-round grade on it. 17 a little high, maybe, but there's a lot of people who think, you know, Morig wouldn't have got past that range of 16, 17, 18. And they got him in the second round. Their overall record has just been so spotty picking that I guess I have a little bit of concern there, just more based on what their past has been and have they, you know, found some other way of doing things that's going to be a little bit more successful. I don't know. You know, there's teams like the Houston Texans that desperately need draft picks, and they have so few. And I get why they took the first one on a developmental quarterback, but boy, that's a Nick Caserio. I hope he realizes what he got himself into there. That thing is difficult. And look, this draft, if Justin Fields is who I think he's going to be, Atlanta, Denver, Detroit, Carolina, whatever players they may have found along the way in this draft, and certainly some of them found some with how high they're picking, the opportunity cost of not taking that kid, I think, will haunt those teams. I think he's going to be special, and some of the players they selected will be really good NFL players, but they're not going to be franchise quarterbacks.
You can follow him on Twitter at Jason Lockenfora. That is at Jason Lockenfora, CBS NFL Insider. Jay, as always, buddy, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. Have a great week. Thank you.
See you, buddy.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yo.
I'll tell you, Mike, my timeline is starting to fill up with my idea for the NFL draft.
It works for me, man. It works for me.
I love it.
Let's go.
The NFL draft, the first round, is one pick a day, every day, for 32 days. I mean, just think about that. Just think about that. Oh, it's awesome. Oh, you know, tell you what, we'll give you more details on that coming up in a few minutes. Right now, in the NBA, the Lakers, end of the first quarter, trail the Nuggets 24-20. Nikola Jokic has 8 in the first quarter. Anthony Davis also with 8 for the Lakers. LA, of course, playing this game without LeBron James, sitting out after sort of re-aggravating his ankle injury a night ago. And so the Lakers will try to stay in sixth place by beating the Nuggets tonight. Meanwhile, everything going on with the Lakers the last couple of days, they're playing without Dennis Schroeder as well. He's out the next couple of weeks with COVID protocols, and LeBron is banged up. And clearly, they're looking at the play-in round in the NBA playoffs. And as LeBron said last night, well, he's not the biggest fan of it. Just take a listen.
Well, it doesn't matter at the end of the day if I'm not 100%, close to 100%. It don't matter, you know, where we land, you know, so... you know, that's my mindset. And, you know, if this happens to we end up at sixth or fifth or whatever the case may be, or if we end up in the playoff, whatever that thing is, whoever came up with that need to be fired. But whatever.
Whoever came up with that needs to be fired. You know, we talked earlier this hour about how, like, everybody loves the play-in tournament unless you have to be in it, right? Mm-hmm. I love it, but unless I actually have to do it. Hey, what if we did something for the kids at school this year? What's that? What if we had, like, a spring dance and, you know, we had, like, a red carpet event and it was great? Great, you want to put that together? Oh, no. I just said it's an idea.
I'm an idea man.
Yeah, I don't do it. But here's the thing. I'll give you a bold prediction for this play-in, right? It was okayed for this season only, having the 7 through 10 teams play in the play-in round to get to the 1 through 8. And already we have seen Luka Doncic hate it, and Mark Cuban hates it, and now LeBron James hates it. I guarantee you, Adam Silver, who never wants to make anybody upset, even though, hey, this is a good idea, the fans like it, it's extra TV, it's like an extra round of playoffs, I guarantee you, Adam Silver, at the end of the season, will say, no, we're not doing it again. because I'm not going to risk angering the players because I don't want to make anybody angry. I don't want to be at odds with anybody. I want to be the commissioner that does the littlest amount possible. I don't want anybody to have to be at odds with me and want to fight with me. I just want everything to run smoothly. I'm not going to really stand up for anything, even though this is a great idea and everybody loves it. The star players and the owners are now saying, we don't like it. It's a bad idea. They're going to say no for after this year. They're going to say, this is it. It's this year only.
Why? Because LeBron's a crybaby? Yep. I mean, we already know Luka. We watch him every night he plays that we get to watch. He's in our window every night. I tell you, it's him and it's Steph Curry and it's the Lakers. It's the same damn three teams staring me in the face every night. I want more Suns action. More national support for that. But, yeah, just because LeBron cries, too bad.
Doesn't matter.
Yes, it's
doesn't
a strange matter. Schedule. Obviously, 72 games compressed. We could talk about practices and obviously injuries and wringing our hands about those injuries. Are they related to a shorter offseason? Is it just a fluke? Are there really more injuries or does it just seem like it? Because otherwise, I think I'd be seeing those 42-page thought pieces of telling me how bad it really is compared to other years. I haven't seen any of those yet. So I'm assuming those are either in the works for the last day, you know, maybe published on May 17th. Otherwise, that we've just kind of blown it up because it's the recency bias of, oh, my God, another star is hurt. But when it comes down to it, you've got excitement in cities where there normally isn't. You already have 16 teams in your playoffs, and now you've expanded it to two-thirds of the league gets in. Come on, how great is that? And these teams at the bottom, are we talking about ping pong balls this year? No, we're not. We're talking about, all right, who's going to end up playing in those slots and how dangerous are the teams that are there, right? Steph Curry gets in. That's the only reason that he's relevant is that they're in the playing game. Otherwise, it's, hey, he's filling up the stat sheet. Nobody's getting excited about Russell Westbrook. Dude's doing craziness night after night. What, 20 assists, 20 boards tonight? The only other guy to do that is Wilt. Yet he's an afterthought in all this. By the way, they're surging and could get in. They're very interesting on the other side of the bracket. But if all it takes is a couple of these guys to complain, then this guy should just quit and go do something else. Go watch the Ducks and throw some dried bread at them because you're not cut out to hold a job of any import.
Let me just tell you this, Mike. That was a well-thought-out, lucid, intelligent take on that situation.
Thank you. Thank
you. Doesn't matter. Adam Silver's going to, oh, LeBron doesn't like it. Luka doesn't like it. Cuban, other players don't like it. Oh, yeah, we're going to get rid of it. It doesn't matter.
I'm just cranking up the Johnny Cash cry in the background.
Doesn't matter. You're right. You know what? Doesn't matter. He's never going to do anything that goes against players that. And if they're that vocal about it, and clearly the last couple weeks has been about that, he's going to say, yeah, we tried it. And, you know, it worked in the bubble. And maybe it worked a little bit here as we only played 72 games. So, but now we're going to be back on our regular schedule. So we're back to traditional playoffs. That's exactly how it's going to go. And meanwhile, he's not going to do it because, you know, I'm not going to get LeBron mad at me. I'm not going to get Luka mad. I'm not going to get everybody mad at me. Trust me. This is how Adam Silver has operated since he became commissioner. This is exactly how he's operated. Oh, if someone's mad, oh, I'll cancel it. I don't want anybody to be mad. That's going to happen. It's ridiculous, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's time to, let him drop and be a man and stand up to the nonsense.
Twitter at How About a Fresca? Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. We got more NBA on the way. Nuggets Lakers, a 3-point game going into about midway point before about midway between. About 9 minutes to go. I'm sorry, I couldn't see I said, does my clock say 6 minutes? No, it's a nine.
My man, get those glasses.
I know. Well, that's what happens when I'm far away doing the show from home and I try to look at the iPad. It works. But coming up next, let's take a big stance on what all the rookie quarterbacks should have happen this season in the NFL. Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.